Wouldn't that be glorious to hear that trumpet sound and he'd call us in the air and to be able to know that this is over. You know, this stage is over and now we're moving on to that hope. And that's kind of what we want to talk about this morning because, you know, we can look across this room and I probably more than anybody in here know the different things that each and every one of you as a congregation deal with. I don't know everybody's. But as far as any one single person in here, I could look across here and I see a lot of things that are going on in a lot of people's lives. People that have sicknesses here that maybe nobody else knows about. People that are dealing with issues of family members that have health problems that you have, health problems that family members have, health problems, you know, of people that you know that are friends that you've been praying about. You know, some of you, you know, may be dealing with, you know, things internally that are of a spiritual and emotional nature, issues that are going on with your family, your children, your grandchildren. Do you know that we make up a church and we're not the only ones of a lot of people who are dealing with a lot of situations? And I think I pray just about every time that we're praying during the time of prayer request, because there is so much that God has to handle. It's not just, God is not a God that's just going to take care of just your physical things. So, you know, something's going on and you're praying for the people that are in the hospital. Those are not the only people that we put on the prayer list. That's not the only thing that you can submit to God in prayer that's going on in your life. Whatever it is, God can take care of that. Whatever it is, whether it's emotional, physical, spiritual, God can take care of that, but you've got to submit it to Him. You've got to lay it down there and give it to Him and trust in God. But, you know, the thing is that, and the reason why you see that churches made up of people, we are probably beat upon and have more issues that come to light than people outside of these walls, because it's Satan's task to be able to beat us down, to get you down, to put stumbling blocks in your way, to bring you down. If he can't get you by health, and you got pretty good health, you're probably going through something with your children, with your family members. You know, and then once you get that taken care of, then your car is going to break down and financial problems are going to come your way. I mean, you get beat upon, and that's why the prosperity gospel that is preached from pulpits, you know, like a, you know, slick-haired man that preaches out there in Texas that I like to talk about a lot. I'm not that fond of him. You may be. But he preaches one half, maybe even one half. I don't know if I'm going to give him that much. Maybe a fourth of the entire Bible, because it's, oh, just come to Jesus Christ and your life is going to be a bed of roses. Yes, it is. But guess what? You ever taken a rose and run your hand down that stem? Wilma, you been out there pruning that rose bush garden out there? You ever got a little nick or something like that? It is a bed of roses, right? But roses have thorns. And that's the same thing that is out here. And that's what some people will forget to remind you, because you'll say, oh, how beautiful the roses are. And what beauty they bring to you. And you'll get out, then you just jump in them and you want to roll in them. And you get to roll in all of this stuff. And then you find out, somebody failed to tell you that you were going to come out bloody. And see, that's it. Because see, what we are, when you sign up to be a Christian, what you signed up to be is in a spiritual battle. And it is spiritual warfare every day. If you ever take a look at Romans chapter 6 and looking down there in about the 10th to the 18th verse of that, it's talking about we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the evil prince of this world. That's what you're in. And that's what we need to be letting people understand. So when you go through these things, sometimes you had to stop and look. And so many of you are going through so many different things. And I'm not going to call it all out, but I know that you're going through stuff. And you need to take a look for just a moment and ask yourself, why? We always do that anyway. But then we get to blame and go, why? Why am I going through this? And almost 9 out of every 10 times, if you do that, if you'll just kind of pierce ahead or look at where you're at, you're going through this for two reasons. Number one, God is trying to get your attention about something, maybe. Or either Satan is trying to stop you from doing what God wanted you to do. That's generally what's happening. And I'm going to tell you, if it's Satan that is trying to stop you from doing something. Somebody will come in and we'll have the play. We see this during the time of the play. Things are going and then things just start happening in everybody's life that is in the cast, whether it's a sickness or whether it's family problems. And what we had to do is you had to stand up and realize what that is and say, wait a minute, Satan, you don't win in that situation. But not everything is Satan's fault that I want you to understand that you may be going through. Now, that you can't blame, because see, sometimes you had to blame it on this right here. Flesh, okay? And not everything is God's fault. Not everything is Satan's fault. See, sometimes it's just plain old you. And it's not always you. But see, you're going through so many different things, and I want us to look and see what the Bible has for us. And turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're going to read several verses, but I'm going to read them in some chunks for you. You're going to read chapter 8 and going on down. And Paul is writing here to the church at Rome, and he's trying to encourage them about the future and the glory that they'll have there. And he says right here in verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Right off the bat, right here, you see that Paul is writing to the church at Rome about their present suffering that they're going through. And this is the church in Rome, and where the Roman government is in leadership here. And they're not altogether that happy when you start to see a lot of things change and it looks like there's revolts, and they've already had the problem with Pilate and the people coming together. So the church at Rome was a particularly bad place to be at during this time, because it was like trying to have a mega church in Washington, D.C. today. I mean, you're in the capital of the seat of power, and it's not a wonderful place for Christians to be. So they were in suffering that you see there. But see what 19 and through 21 says right there. It says that creation is waiting for something. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation, what is it that they're waiting for? We're waiting for this fulfillment. We're hoping for something that God has for us on the other side. And that's what, you know, Paul is trying to encourage them, in the same way that I want to encourage you today, is that you're waiting for something. We're toiling and we're laboring in this life for some reason, right? I would hope so. And you've got something. You're eagerly waiting for God to be revealed. You're waiting for what we're talking about tonight, that rapture time. You're waiting for that time that it tells us that Satan is not going to be in the power over the earth like he has right now, that God is going to be reigning. And you're waiting for that time to when we're going to be with God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, right? That's the hope that you have right now. The hope that you have and the hope that you should have is that this life that you're living in right now, this is not it. This is not it. The pain that you're going through, the family things that you're going through, this is not all there is for that. And that should give you hope. It should give you the hope that Paul is talking about right here in the 24th verse. And it says, for in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. And so you say, well, when is this time going to come? When is it going to come that God is going to do this? Because see, if you read on and he puts it kind of plain there, he said, who hopes for what he already has? And see, if God had told you right now that you're going to be in heaven on May the 31st, this coming Saturday, won't even be able to make it to the cast party, I don't know that you'd be hoping for a minute, but you kind of hope at Christmas time, and you hope and you hope, and it gets you to Christmas, and then after you get your Christmas presents or whatever, it's like, It's not a driving force anymore, is it? And see, what God has, he has this set up for us down here. That way we can go through. Because see, what you're going through right now is not in waste. Because I want you to look up here, and it's something that Paul is talking about. It's going to be important for later on. It says in verse, I think it is 20, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God." I could spend all day on those first two verses right there. And you go home and you read that and you chew upon what he just said. And see, because what it's saying is, yeah, we have some choices, but there are some things that you go that go through in your life right now that are not by are not coming about just because of your own choices. And as I said earlier, sometimes God is having you to go through something. And if he didn't put you through it specifically, he's allowing you to go through that. And you need to sit back for a moment and ask why, as I said earlier, why is it that you're going through the situation? What is it that you need to be learning from it? Because I'm going to tell you, and I think there's some people in this room today that could attest, the quicker that you find out why and you learn the lesson, the faster it'll be over with, okay? It's kind of like when you get whippings, you know? If you would just do right, you may not get another one down the road. And so if that's the situation that you're in that God is trying to teach you, if you're being stubborn and you got something that keeps coming up and it keeps coming up, and God does this with us, and I'm going to talk, and I'm not talking about anybody in specific, but in the realm of finances, let me tell you, you will continue to be in financial problems until you learn the lesson that God has got for you about how to be a good steward of your finances in your home and everywhere else. And so you can sit there and bellyache week after week after week after week after week and year. God, 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 I'm in this financial situation. But you're not learning the lesson he has for you. And you're never going to get out of that. And so I'm not saying that everybody in here, because I can look across at faces, some people dealing with finances, I'm not saying that that's exactly why, but I'm talking about for the good of the group in here. And that, I mean, it happens with us, and it's the same thing with your children. If it's a spiritual whipping, get the message, and then you'll have blessings to come from it, because he is not sitting here just putting you through this because he's a mean God. He wants you to be better. He wants you to have blessings, and he doesn't want you to be cursed. He loves you that much, but because he loves you, he disciplines you in those areas. And I can tell you, you can sit back and I was talking with somebody yesterday specifically about, you know, a financial type thing, and they brought up, you know, an issue about, you know, tithing, and a lot of people don't like to talk about it from the pulpit, but I'm going to tell you, If you don't tithe, that's your own business. But let me tell you something. If you don't tithe because you tell God that you don't have enough money to do so, he's going to make sure you don't have enough money to do much else either. I'm telling you. That you're going to say, oh, he's going to say, okay, all right. You don't have enough money. And I'm not saying just tithing to this church now, because you tithe wherever you want to. This is not a plea for you to give money here. Did you hear me? Nobody heard me. Everybody heard what I didn't say. Can we pass the plate again? I'm not saying that. See, I'm telling you this after you've already given, so it's not a guilt thing, so you can give. All right, if I was going to do that, I would have gave a long speech about you giving before we went around and did that. Here's the thing. If you want to just put God on the back burner, he'll go back there, and he'll say, whether that's your time, whether that's your money, if you say, God, I can't come to church. God, I can't praise you. God, I can't read my Bible. I can't pray. I can't do the things. Then guess what? Because, God, I got to have time to do this. So this is not about money. I'm going to give you another scenario. Then he's going to make sure you don't have time to do any of those other things that you want to do either. And so you sit back and you wonder why your schedule always stays packed, and you can't spend time with your kids, and you can't spend time with your wife, and you can't do the things that you need to do, because God's going to keep, he's going to keep piling it on you. And that whole thing, God won't put more on you than you can handle, that's a lie. And I think I busted that out a couple of months ago. It's a lie. God gives you in those situations more than you can handle, so he can put you flat on your back, and the only way you can look is up. So yes, he gives you more than you can handle. He does. And so, but he don't have to give you more than you can handle. That's what I want you to understand. You just keep going, I got it. I got this. I got this. I got this. I got this. And he keeps on piling on until you just fall and your legs break and you look back and say, oh God, help me. Yeah. But I'm gonna turn the page a minute, because yes, there are some things that happen in your life that you don't have control over. There's a lot of things that happen in your life that you don't have control over. But see, I want you to don't sit back, because it's okay to ask why, but don't sit back and ask God, well, God, why, you just put me through too much. You put me through too much. I don't understand. Just sit back, because I want you to think about this. Everybody that's in here, you've gone through, not only are you going through stuff, but you have gone through things. And tell me, somebody right now, I'm opening the floor. Opening the floor. Somebody give me a testimony today at how God put you through something that you were not better for down the road. Speak now. She got a hand. Let's go. Come on. Tell me. Okay. That's exactly what I'm looking for. I could give you 1,000 different ways of how God may be using that in your life, Dorothy, right there, because, you know, and I could speculate all day long, but what I can tell you right now is you're not going through it for nothing. You're not going through it for nothing. And at the end of the day, let me just say this. At the end of the day, you may be going through something purely because we live in a fallen world and sin is here and we have to deal with the effects of sin. Purely. That's the reason. And here's the thing. When sometimes you sit back and you look and I can say, okay, God, I'm prayed up. I'm good. There's no lesson that I'm learning, and there's no Satan doesn't seem like he's trying to beat against me about anything. And so why do I have this debilitating disease, or why does bad things happen to good people and all that other kind of stuff? Well, you know what? We made choices. The human race made choices way back in the Garden of Eden that you're still, you and me, and you can say, well, that's not the choices that I made, because that was them. You continue to make those same type of choices today. Thousands of years of history, sin is in this world. Do you understand that? And there is ripple effects of that sin. And we've talked about this before. There are sometimes you're dealing with something in your life, not because of what you're doing now, but because of what you did 1,000, you know, days ago. I was going to say years, but that would be probably impossible. 100 days ago, you done something. And yes, God has forgiven you for that. But see, sin has a ripple effect. And it comes on down. You see that parent sometimes in your children. You may not have been the best of a Christian coming up, and you see that the effects of how you did that came out. Sometimes you see it, and you did really well, and you know they just going off somewhere. But you see the ripple effects. I can see how me as a pastor, if I was in a confrontation with somebody and I just cussed them out right there, I can tell that God will forgive me for that. But guess what? It's going to be a long time before I get that witness back for that person, get my reputation back from that person. That's the ripple effect that I'm talking about that happens right there. And maybe that's something, I don't know, maybe that's something that you're going through, but I want you to look at verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he searches our hearts. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Now, I want you to look at that for a minute, church. I want you to get that right now. There are times, Dorothy, when you just don't have a clue. You don't have a clue what you can pray for. And what Paul is telling you right there, in your weakness, the Spirit will pray for you. You have somebody who is interceding for you right here. And that doesn't mean that you quit praying and you think that the Holy Spirit's going to be praying for you. That's not what it's talking about. In your weakness, you have a God. You have the third person of the Trinity. You have the second person of the Trinity that is making intercession for you as well. But God is interceding for you in those times when you can't even open your mouth. And see, that intercession right there, the intercession that you give people when you pray for them and the Holy Spirit is praying, is why things happen in your life and blessings come in your life and you never uttered a word in prayer and you wonder, well, how? Remember the prayer of mothers, the prayers of parents, and how that intercession affects your children when they don't even know it. And here we got the God, the Father, we've got the Holy Spirit that are intercede for you when you can't even do it yourself. Now, if that don't give you some hope in the situation you're in right now, because I know that there is a number of people in this room today and you're beat down, you're tired, and you can't even right now praise God because you're so upset. And not that that can get into sin in a while, but see, right now, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is kind of like Aaron and Hur, and they're keeping your hands up, and they're raising you up because that's the kind of God that we serve. Right there. That's the God that you serve if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to take and let's look at what to meet right here at the end. And we know, verse 28, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Dorothy, read that. And we know, go back to verse 28. Go to verse 28 for me, James. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's what you know, Dorothy. You know that he works for the good, all things, all right, all these things. And you may not see it right now, but you will see it. All right, and verse 29, for God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, he was raised to life. Is it at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall in trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. And all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that's the reading of the Word of God right there. And you look at that and you say, wow, what do you mean? He works everything for the good that's going on in my life. And so you know that at some level, either it's a teaching moment or it's a time for you to be strong and you to defend yourself against Satan by the power of Jesus Christ, and you're still going to be victorious right there. And he says he's going to work it out. You've got the Spirit that is interceding for you. Then you got the promise that he's going to make sure it's good. Then you come over here and you look at verse 32, and it says, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, he will also not along with him graciously give us all things. And in verse 34, it says, who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, he is raised to life. He is at the right hand of God, and he is also interceding for us. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got Jesus that is interceding for you on a daily basis. You've got family members. You've got church family members that are interceding for you on a daily basis. And that brings us to verse 37 that I already read. It says, no, in all things, we are more than conquerors. Hupernakia or something in the Greek. I can't say it now because I done got excited. But it means to be hyper victorious. I read that more. It didn't say that you'd be a conqueror. It said that you would be more than a conqueror. It said right there that you would be overly victorious. You know, that you were just surpassing victory. Why is that? Because even when you conquer things that are in this life and you get through the financial things, you get through the health things, you get through the emotional things, you get through the spiritual things, we've got so much better than this world on the other side over here. And that people that are of this world, people that are living in this world, and this world is their abode, all they are is conquerors because they get to champion the world. But see, in this little fear that we're in, but see, we're not of the world. Our kingdom that we are citizens of is not of this world, and we get something greater than they'll get. We can not only get to where they're going to get, but we go above where they're going to be. That's the hope that you have in these situations that's going on in your life. That not that you're a conqueror of that situation, but you are more than a conqueror of that situation, not by any power that you have within yourself, but by Jesus Christ and Him alone is how you are more than a conqueror. And I think He deserves praise for that right there. There is nothing, and I'm going to tell you this morning, church, I've been through a lot in 26 years. A lot maybe that some of you that are 70 and 80 may not have, maybe you've seen it in your life, but maybe you didn't have to go through it at 12, 13, or 14. I didn't have a childhood like that. But I can tell you everything that I see back in my life, oh boy, were there moments? I'm not going to tell you in the midst of your situation that you're going to understand it. Because I don't think anybody does. But hindsight is always 20/20, especially with God, especially with Him. You can look back, and if you're looking back, you may have missed something, okay? Because I can tell you that there is nothing yet, and maybe I've got to get older. I don't imagine, though, that God's going to forsake me. He hadn't done it in 26 years, and maybe if I give Him, you know, 52 years or whatever, I don't figure He's going to do it yet. But God is not. Didn't He promise that He will never leave you? And He will never forsake you. What He promised you was not that He wasn't going to put more on you than He could handle, than you could handle. Because see, He never asked you to handle all this by yourself in the first place. And what He's doing whenever He gives you these things that you can't handle, He's wanting you to get to that place to where you say, God, I can't. And see, the Bible promised us, y'all, so many of you are dealing with this. I want you to get it tonight because it's going to crush you. There are things that people right now in the sound of my voice in this place right now, you are going through, and it is going to eat you alive until you get this right here. Think old school with me for a moment. You had your plow, right? And you know the ox are hooked up on the plow up there pulling it, right? And they had a yoke on them. And that big wooden, you know, thing where the head of this ox was in and the head of that ox was in over there. And if you try to plow this field with just your head and the left-hand side, it's going to be one hard row to plow. But see, Jesus Christ promises us in His word that He will take that yoke upon Himself. He will put His head in the right-hand side of that. And that He is going to help you pull that. Now, you had never felt any power until you let Him put His head in that other side over there and help you along with this. But you can sit back and He's going to stand there on the edge of that field and He's going to watch you. And He's going to be saying, I'm right here. I'm right here. But until you get to where there is so much sweat dropping off and you're just going to fall down and you can't plow no more. Sometimes that's what happens to us. But see, even still, the God that we serve of grace and mercy, He's going to walk over there to you. He's going to pick you up like He did Peter and say, you know, why didn't you ask me in the first place? I would have helped you along in this. He's going to give you a little strength, and He's going to stick His head in that side, and y'all going to plow that field whenever you can get to that place. But that's in your ballpark. What I'm telling you is you have hope today. You have an immense amount of hope. You have an immense amount of things to look forward to. Not only in this life where you can conquer this because we have dominion over this world, okay? But see, we are more than that kind of conqueror because Jesus Christ overcame the world. We hadn't overcome the world, and we will never overcome the world without God and without Jesus Christ and what He's done. He's given you that. There is no reason why you should sit in this place today after what has been said. And you know the promises of the Bible. You know that you got two-thirds because the Father's sitting there and he's on your side too, but you got Jesus and you got the Holy Spirit that is interceding for you. They're praying for you. They're saying, come on, go a little further. They're giving you gifts and mercy and grace and strength, just displaying it to you. And we're going to lay down and give up? Not hardly. See, we serve more than a little statue that can't do anything for you. We serve a living God. And he lives every day because he wants to rejoice with you. That's why you got to praise him in the storm. You have got to praise him in the middle of that storm because you don't know what kind of lesson he's trying to teach you. You have no idea. But what you do is you submit to the ultimate will of God because he's promised you that it's going to work out no matter what. No matter what. Let's pray.